Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in the household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. And after that, we have kids to come up, children's time, but just wanted to take a moment to think about the readings with you this morning. Those are tough readings. Woo, thank you, Ted. I forgot about the part of people being sawed in half in the Bible, but it's there. But our reading from Hebrews is really about heroes and about the heroes of the faith who have gone on, as we heard Barak and Jephthah and Solomon and David. So I was thinking about heroes, and in our early service, I asked the kids to think about heroes that they have. And I want to invite you to think about who are some heroes that you have. And I'm just going to ask you to call out, it could be fictional, it could be living, what are some heroes that you have in your life? It's good. So when I was growing up, my favorite superhero was Spider-Man. It's a great time to be alive because I get a Spider-Man movie like every other year now. But I always liked Spider-Man because he was a kid, like I was a kid, and he didn't come from a different planet, and he didn't, you know, have superpowers that somehow nobody could get. I thought it was much more plausible that a radioactive spider could bite you, you know, than coming from the planet Krypton or something like that. So I always liked this idea of Spider-Man being a young kid figuring things out with these special powers. But we have heroes throughout our lives, and I heard some people name members of their family, historic figures, sometimes sports. We have sports heroes as well. Our lives are kind of filled with these heroes when we kind of start to think about it. And that's what the author of Hebrews is asking us to do, to think for a moment about the heroes that populate our lives, our world, our hearts, and our minds, who have shaped us, who have been examples for us. And the author lists all of these people from the Hebrew Scriptures that certainly fill that bill. And he describes them as a cloud of witnesses. A cloud of witnesses would help to guide us on our way. So these heroes that you're thinking about this morning, we each have our own kind of particular cloud of witnesses of people that we think about who have been mentors for us, maybe their past, but still kind of light our way. Maybe they're people in our lives even now. And so the author is asking us to think on that, to cherish them, to think about what they mean for us, how they help to guide our steps. And it's also an invitation for us to be a cloud of witnesses, which we are as the church. And as I shared with the kids at the early service, you are also all my heroes. And I don't say that to be as a platitude or, you know, it's just whatever to say it because it sounds nice. But to journey with all of you through the various seasons of your lives and see how you've handled grief and loss and illness and aging and joys of grandchildren and children and new adventures and questions and the way that you faithfully wrestled with all those things, and to just be a small part of that journey with you is such a blessing. And you're all my heroes in so many ways, and your presence is so important in so many ways, to me and to one another and to the people in our church and to our community as we gather, that people look to the people and say, I can do this because they have done it. I can get through this because they have done it. They show me the way. So thank you for being that cloud of witnesses, the people here in our church, to the people in your lives, and to the people in our community and our world who really, really need to know that there is a faithful way to make our way in the world today. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the people in our lives who light our way, who have been heroes for us. And we don't often think of ourselves as heroes for anybody, but we are, each of us in our own unique way. We help to reflect your light into the world and to others, and we do the best that we can to be faithful in whatever situation we find ourselves, whether we want it or not. Thank you that you can use us to help inspire and care for others, and to be an inspiration, to be a place where people can come to know that they are okay, that they are loved, that they are beloved. Thank you for using our presence here in so many ways to bless the people who worship with us here and online, and to bless our world. In Jesus' name, amen. And peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Someone in your life who loves following the weather. Someone that loves to go beyond the basic forecast to check out the radar, the dew point, the humidity level, following the flow of the jet stream across the country. Somebody with multiple weather apps on their phone. Someone who loves to explain to you the fine points of the weather as if they were Cicely Tynan themselves. In our family, that person is me. I love to check the radar for road trips and dog walks and track a good snowstorm and see what's really going to happen. There's a certain satisfaction in tracking the weather, in knowing or anticipating what could happen, even if you're wrong most of the time. Now, this morning, Jesus starts with an analogy about weather. He says, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. In the Holy Land, at least at that time, the weather was controlled by two powerful forces, the Mediterranean Sea and the desert. And so when clouds appeared in the west in the direction of the Mediterranean, people knew that rain was coming. And when the wind started to shift and blow out of the desert south, they knew they could expect scorching heat. And in an agricultural society as it was at that time, looking at the sky and understanding the weather was habitual and necessary. And in that circumstance, plainly obvious. And yet, Jesus says, even though we can look at the weather so carefully, we have a hard time understanding the very time that we are living in and what is happening around us. We are living in a time of reckoning, and in biblical terms, maybe the appropriate term is apocalypse, which we often associate with the book of Revelation, with this ending and the culmination of all the world. But at its most basic, an apocalypse is the end of one thing and the beginning of another, and which has its own birth pangs as it goes. And these days we have our own litany about it, right? Changes in technology and COVID and climate and racial reckoning and generational shifts and shifts in power and authority and moving from the 20th century into the 21st century. We see this in our culture in so many ways. And in fact, we saw this reflected this past week in our national denomination, the ELCA. The ELCA holds a church-wide assembly that takes place every 3 years, and it is the assembly where the work of the national church happens. It's 2/3 lay people, 1/3 clergy. They meet once every 3 years to set the course for the national denomination. These are people that come from every synod across the country, including our synod. Now, the ELCA was founded in 1988 as a conglomeration of different Lutheran bodies. Sometimes we refer to it as alphabet soup. But there were Norwegian and Swedish and German and Finnish church bodies that all came together in 1998, came under this larger umbrella of the ELCA. So we're a relatively young denomination as it goes. But many in across the ELCA have seen the need for change, reform within our own denomination. And in fact, at this churchwide assembly, the assembly voted to revise our ELCA constitution, our governing document, by 92% in favor. So across the church at this kind of grassroots level, there is this need for people are seeing to live into this future that God has in store. Along with this vote to revise the constitution, there was also a public apology made to a Latine congregation, Santa Maria Peregrina, St. Mary of the Pilgrims, which was a congregation that was mistreated by the now former and disgraced bishop of the Sierra Pacific Synod. So our presiding bishop, our national bishop, publicly apologized to members of that congregation, and they addressed the assembly. At that same assembly, there was a memorial to recognize, honor, and support indigenous people and tribal nations, and to become a more just and inclusive denomination. And all of these passed overwhelmingly, like at that 90%, 92% level, which was an overwhelming statement to the institutional church from the people of the church that it needs to grow and change. These are difficult times to live in, to lead in, and to be people of faith in. And Jesus' call was not just to understand our times, but to recognize that God is with us in these times. Jesus encouraged everyone to consider their time as inhabited by God, and he invited his listeners to take urgent measures, measures of commitment, and with respect to God, trust and hope, and with respect to one's neighbor, something other than lawsuits and war. God is with us just as much in the suffering of the cross as God is with us at the joy of the open tomb. Jesus himself came to a place at such a time as ours, to first century Palestine, which was a time of upheaval when the tectonic plates of empire, religion, culture, politics, and economy were all shifting under people's feet. Jesus brought compassion and mercy, but Jesus also spoke the truth of their time. He held up a mirror to those in power, whether it was religious, social, or political, and they did not like what they saw, and so they crucified him for it. In the letter to the Hebrews, the author recounts the witnesses of those in the Hebrew Scriptures who had lived through hard times. It recounts the Israelites who passed through the Red Sea, escaping slavery. It recounts the Battle of Jericho when they marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days and the walls fell down. It recounts the faith of Rahab, the prostitute, who welcomed Israelite spies into her home and was spared God's judgment. And then Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, it says, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fires, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign enemies to flight, women who received their dead by resurrection, and the martyrs who suffered all kinds of persecution for their faith. Our ancestors in the faith were incredibly courageous people, with great commitment and great faith. They were often normal people living through extraordinary times who had the faith and courage to heed God's call of love, to do justice, and to speak the truth despite the consequences. And we are their descendants. We carry their DNA. To live in such times as these, we need that same faithful courage. We need their witness and the strength and love of this community. It goes on to say in Hebrews, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the original cloud network, as it were, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. My mantra throughout these last few years, which arose simply by necessity, has been, just be faithful. Just be faithful. Sometimes you might hear me muttering it around the church building when I'm doing different things. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. When we feel so overwhelmed, to feel like the world is so broken, when things feels like there are things in our lives that we can't fix or make better at the moment, it is hard to know what to do. And so I've just said to myself for 3 years, just be faithful. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Be faithful to what God is calling us to do and to be. Be faithful and seek to be faithful in little things and big things. There's so much in our world that we don't have control over. There's more in our lives than we'd like to admit that we don't have control over. So what can we do? We can be faithful. And when all else fails, we can go back to our baptisms for guidance, as Martin Luther often did. We go back to baptism where we are reminded who we are and whose we are. As Dottie is fond of quoting, remember who you are, she'll tell me. Remember who you are. You are a beloved child of God. Remember whose you are. You are the child of the Almighty. And remember our 5 baptismal promises, to live among God's faithful people, to gather together as the people of God in this place, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. When we feel confused and overwhelmed and disoriented and uncertain, these are the things that we come back to. These 5 things, to gather as God's people around the word and table, to share the good news of God's love in Jesus, to serve everyone following Jesus' example, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. And sometimes, on some days, we can do about this much of it. Just about that much. We can just be faithful about that much. But God uses that faithfulness to bless so many and to do so much beyond our imagining and understanding. Let us just be faithful. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us and keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen.